We're going to turn our attention now to some changes announced recently regarding food trucks in the city. And here, Philip's going to stick around and talk about that. He's earning his money today. And also joining us to talk about that as we get him in the door is Joe Sanka from Leo Weekly. First of all, Philip, what exactly does the city have a specific definition of what constitutes a food truck?
Well, at this point, when initially the original peddler's ordinance did not have any space carved out for mobile food trucks. As they proliferated and become more popular, that was really what the Fisheries Administration wanted to get at here, was defining what these businesses are, what they do, and how they should or should not operate. The issue really appears to be just a breakdown in communication.
So what are some of the major changes, Joe, that the city has announced regarding food trucks?
Well, the regulations that they kind of eased up on and wanted to cut the red tape for were lowering the buffer zone that a food truck, the distance that had to be from either a residential neighborhood or a brick-and-mortar establishment that sells a similar product. And the other thing that cut down on red tape was instead of having to have a permit for every single location that the food truck stopped at, they would just need one permit per vehicle per year. So cutting a bunch of red tape there that they didn't have to jump through hoops for every spot.
Now, this has prompted some complaints from a couple of proprietors, right?
Yeah, they have a problem with three things. First of all food truck vendors now have to obtain a criminal background check for every employee that they have in the truck. Secondly, they have to provide a detailed map for every location that they stop at throughout the year. And thirdly, they have to obtain the notarized consent of the property owner where they are operating. And a lot of times that property owner doesn't even live in the state. So that creates a lot of hoops for them to jump through. And those are actually rules that were already on the books, but a lot of people didn't know about them, and the city didn't even bother enforcing them. So now people are aware of this, and the city is saying that eventually this is something that people are going to have to abide by. But for the time being, it's kind of an amnesty period where they aren't going to strictly enforce this and shut down food trucks over the next couple of months.
Philip, we have any ballpark figure as to how many food trucks there are operating in the city?
Oh, wow. I've counted as many as almost a dozen. It depends on, you know, the level of sophistication. Some obviously have their trucks painted. I mean, they're real businessmen out here on the go. Others are sort of just starting up right now. I think Joe made a good point, though, about those laws or parts of the regulations that they were complaining about were ones that were already on the books. But because things were so divided, meaning that you had to go to IPL, the health department, the parks department, if you happen to be parking in a park, a lot of these rules weren't really in one central location. The Fisher administration put that on there. What's surprising when I mentioned the issue about communication was that, you know, the Fisher administration, Brandon Cohen specifically, who's the analyst who drew up the ordinance, met with a lot of these food truck owners beforehand and had a lot of meetings with them. Yet and still, when they announced that this was going to be cutting the red tape, there were a number of food truck drivers and food truck business owners who were still upset about it. So there was a breakdown in communication where it wasn't maybe properly explained to them, or maybe it wasn't good enough communication between the mayor's office and those food truck owners, where they complained about, well, this doesn't seem to jive with what you were saying as far as cutting the red tape. As a result, I think you see the mayor's office in a bit of damage control, where they're trying to really go to the media now and go to the members of the public and to food truck owners and say, no, this is not what we intended. This is already on the books, and that there are more reviews and more revisions that we can make to help these businesses further.
We have a comment from on Facebook from Dean. Why are food truck operators and employees being required to get criminal background checks and other approvals that are not required of a traditional restaurant staff? Do you want to tackle that?
Sure. I guess, and Joe, feel free to chime in. I think the part of that, what Brandon Cohen at least points out, is that the person who is applying for the vendor's license is the one who has to get the background check. It's not really clear, and I could be wrong about this, if every employee actually has to get one. It's the person who has to get the vendor's license.
Yeah, that was one big issue that Matt Davis had, the owner of Little Cheesers. It's that the government does not force every restaurant owner to have a criminal background check on every employee, but that's what's now going to be required of food truck owners. And he's saying that, why should the government have to approve of every employee that I hire?
And I'm just speculating here, but the thought would be, I would think that the food trucks go out into neighborhoods where there are children and stuff, much like ice cream trucks do, and they're worried about the safety, you know, of young people, I assume. But, you know, restaurants are free to perform background checks as well, and I'm sure many of them do.
I think that's the issue, is that whether not whether the background checks are valid or not, but whether the government should mandate them. I think that that's the point where, and because oftentimes, and you saw this during Derby Cruising, where vendors would set up shop and the business that had been there for years, that had its brick and mortar establishment, didn't like the fact that someone was selling CDs for $8 when my business is selling them for $12 and you can move from place to place. So there is a bit of argument about the competitive edge that food trucks have. I think the Fisher administration certainly entered into this conversation with good intentions. But as I said earlier, there was obviously a breakdown when the Fisher administration says, well, this is cutting red tape. And just about every other business owner or food truck owner says, well, no, it's not cutting red tape. I actually have to cancel some of my shows or cancel some of my appearances. That's not congruent.
Yeah, actually, James Peaton, that was one thing that he mentioned when he first saw the new ordinance. He thought that there was a lot of red tape there for truck owners, and he actually held it and waited for another meeting so those food truck owners could come in and voice their concerns. But they didn't show up at that meeting, and since Mr. Brandon Cohn had been already meeting with those food truck owners, he felt that everyone was on board, and everyone found out after it was announced by the Fisher administration that there were major issues that they had with it.
Food trucks seem to have grown in popularity quite a bit in recent years.
Yeah, they certainly have. They've really exploded all over the country. From Austin, Texas, has hundreds and hundreds of food trucks. You see it all throughout the West Coast. You see it in New York. Oddly enough, you see cities like Chicago where it's actually still illegal to cook food on a food truck. So that's one of the cities that's having a very heated battle. Okay. And it's really a new thing that cities are trying to work their way through on how to regulate this new industry. And obviously, we're seeing some confusion here in Louisville and how difficult that can be.
Philip, they're using social media to get their customers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing that you got to give these food truck owners credit for is that they are very active as far as their business model, whether it's via social networking or traditional media, in fact. And part of this, you know, and the reason why I think this issue hits home and at the heart of Mayor Fisher's administration, remember, he ran on that platform of jobs, jobs, jobs. So you see a situation where you have these sort of entrepreneurs out of nowhere and creating jobs, having a situation where you, out of their own ingenuity and creativity, coming up with this business model and really asking the city to get out of the way and the city trying to meet them halfway in this compromise, there's still some work to be done. And I think what you'll see is the council and the mayor's office look at some of these other provisions in the law and see what other regulations they can maybe take out, add in, and change over. But the communication between food truck owners and the mayor's office obviously has to improve if that situation is going to move forward.
All right, WFPL's Philip Bailey and Joe Sanka from Leo Weekly, thanks for joining us to talk about food truck regulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.